Do you want to scooch this way a little bit?
Yeah. And then you are live.
Hello.
Hello. Can we rotate here?
Yeah, totally. I feel like the lighting is weird. That's also very hideous.
Thank you for calling me hideous. Hello. There is someone watching us.
Hi.
Hi. If you are here, you can say hi, say who you are if you want.
Where you're from or where you are, yeah. You know, those are different things.
Different questions.
I feel like you're taking over my space.
Oh, well, I feel like maybe there's just not enough space.
Maybe.
Should we
go on to, let's be very meta, and let's go on to Instagram.
Hey, are you recording on GarageBand right now?
No.
Aren't we going to record on and extract the audio?
Clearly, we're organized. Welcome to every single podcast that we've ever recorded, ever.
Ever, 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 ever.
Ever, ever, ever. So how is the audio? Is this going well? Is it horrible?
Who okay. knows?
So we're going to go live quick here.
I keep trying my own mouse on my own laptop to work your mouse. And clearly, that's not how it works.
We're gonna get meta.
We're gonna do double live.
Hey everyone, we just want to let you know that we are officially live on YouTube. So as you can see here,
look
how meta this is.
It's confusing. My brain hurts.
So we are live on YouTube. You can head over to the link in the bio to join. And we're just going to leave this here for a sec.
Double live.
Okay.
Hold on. We're telling more followers to join your video. Thanks, Instagram.
Thanks, Instagram. Okay. So today we're doing a live episode. I've got my coffee.
Me too. I also have a burrito, which I might eat.
And also, like, let's acknowledge the fact that we are in the same room. What a concept. We're in the same room. So
you don't want to do our like little intro spiel?
Well, I feel like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we have to be like, hi.
And welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it one episode at a time.
My name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
And my name is Quinn, pronouns zizier or they, them.
This week, we're talking about episode zero, season zero, because we are watching The Reunion, or we watched The Reunion, and we're doing an episode about The Reunion now. So, big warning, this episode is full of spoilers.
Spoilies.
Lots of spoilers. We're going to talk about Friends, all 10 seasons, our feels overall of The Reunion, how we think they did a terrible job, how we think they did a good job, how we mostly just think they did a terrible job. Kidding, not kidding. But that's what we're talking about in today's episode. So if you haven't watched all 10 seasons of Friends, you might not want to tune in because unless, you know, you've existed on the internet and there's spoilers on Friends everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So moral of the story, watch out. Spoilers.
Yes.
Now.
And again, also, we are live. For those listening to this episode tomorrow morning, because that's when you're going to be getting this episode.
Right.
Wednesday morning. This is a live recorded episode.
And we probably won't edit it.
Maybe
so, a little. Or maybe we will, because then next time people will want to be at the live, because you get to know little secret things that happened in the live. Okay, anyway.
Moving on.
Moving forward. Hi, let's pick up where we left off before I was rudely interrupted. I am in Montreal. We are in the same room together. Quinn needed to take some time off. And all of us are double. Well, Emily's almost double vaxxed, but we are all double vaxxed. We're at my parents' place right now. And so I was just like, you know what? It is time. I need to not be in Toronto right now. So I've taken the week off and it's been a lovely couple weeks. We've been moving Emily. Yay. Emily is moving Yes, I am.
And
I'm moving to a new home. It's very exciting. New apartment. Also, the rent difference in Toronto versus Montreal is very painful for people who are in Toronto.
Yes.
Including myself.
Should we say the fact that I'm paying pretty much the exact same amount of money as Quinn? I'm paying like 50 bucks more for rent in order to have an entire 5.5. So if you're not familiar with that kind of Quebec language around bedrooms, it's like 2 closed bedroom plus a double living room, dining room situation, plus a kitchen. And I'm paying.
And 2 giant balconies.
Yeah. And I'm paying $50 more a month, or $75 more a month than Quinn is to have.
And I get a bedroom. I have a wonderful roommate. So like, I'm not trying to be, but I have a roommate, you know? Emily's living alone. I'm sharing the space, and I'm living in a, like, technically it's a 1-bedroom plus den, and I am in the den. So, and the amount of space that we have is very small compared to Emily's place. And also, like, just to point out, the place that I was living before that was infested with mice.
Yeah, so fun.
Which is why we had to move. Anyway, Toronto rent control is a joke, and it's a very expensive city to live in.
But also, don't let Montreal become Toronto, and make sure you lease transfer.
Yes.
Woo. Okay, anyways.
I'm going to turn off this live here.
Okay, we're only live on one place, and we only have one viewer. I wonder who you are, viewer. Are you actually here? Are you a robot? Are you present? What's your name? Tell us everything. Anyways, moving on. So a couple of announcements that we want to talk about. So obviously we're going to be getting into the reunion episode. But if you've been tuning into our podcast for a while now, we've kind of had a bit of a sporadic release of episodes lately as we kind of go through a couple of hiccups in our lives. Actually, no, it hasn't been that sporadic. Have we still been managing?
We had one episode off.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We've managed to not be as sporadic as I thought we were.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. So, yes, that's wild.
We've been trying really hard to get episodes out in the allotted schedule. I think what is more sporadic and the things that have not been working out are the things that we are about to announce to be
canned
for until
for an indefinite amount of time.
Until we lost our one viewer, everyone.
We're gonna cut this out. We don't want the people listening to our podcast to know how little friends we've got.
Well, I think this is like a really good example of the fact that we did not have the ability to really market this event very well. Sure. Anyway, so we are going to be scaling back absolutely everything at the moment. We want to continue to do our best to get episodes out there, but we also are going to be taking some time off. So it's a thing that's going to happen.
So maybe we should explain a little bit more about what that's going to look like. So obviously, if you're listening to this episode on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is, if you're not listening to it live, this episode would have come out on Wednesday, July 7th. So our next episode, which is going to be it's going to be season 2, episode 10. That episode is going to be coming out, on July 20th. So Tuesday, July 20th. After July 20th, Quinn and I are taking a little bit of a summer vacation, aka summer don't burn out, so that we can come back in the fall and be slightly more refreshed.
Slash, so, Quinn is probably going to be moving.
Yeah.
Emily is setting up. We're just doing a lot of things.
Yeah. So we'll be back on October 5th. So after July 20th, we'll be back on October 5th with our feels around the episode, the one with the lesbian wedding, which is probably one of the greatest episodes of Friends. Well, you know, it's got its critiques.
You know, what we said about this season, it probably is the gayest season of Friends.
We did. It was in our trailer.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So a few things around that. We're going to be stopping to do our polls altogether
right now.
Maybe occasionally we'll throw out a poll just to mix it up.
And I mean, like, we have been very weekly, like week, not weekly, W-E-E-K, but W-E-A-K.
Nice.
getting them out there. It's just been one of those things that are considered less important than the episode itself, surprisingly.
Yeah.
So we're just, right now, we're basically going to concentrate ourselves down to what needs to get episodes out so you guys still get the content. And we can still continue to like grow our community in that way. And bond over friends, because that is the most important.
What are you doing? What did I do? I just noticed that that's very low.
I don't know. Can you hear us? Is this good? I guess we'll never. Oh, that's off.
Yeah, but okay. We don't want to make sure. Can we throw on GarageBand just in case? So that if there's anything with an issue with this sound, that we have a backup sound. Little pause as we deal with some technical difficulties. Classic.
So if anyone wants to know the background of what we do, we usually record ourselves in GarageBand. And when we are apart, we record ourselves separately. And then we send each other the audio files and we merge them together.
Yes.
With a little bit of editing, because when you're far apart, there is a bit of a lag.
Mini lag.
Which is why our end tagline is never lined up these days.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's going to be lined up today.
I know.
That's so exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, so polls are being removed. We are getting rid of our polls. Okay. Let's lower that down there.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, still dealing with those weird technical difficulties. All good. Sounds great. Okay, great. So, that being said, are you still doing this? What's happening here?
I don't know. It moved it for us.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going? This is weird.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we're sorry. The audio might be horrible for this.
We'll see. Okay, just exit out of that and we'll, that's fine. That looks good. Okay, so moving back along. Okay, so there's a couple of things that we hope that, I guess this time off will do. One, it will give us the chance to come back re-energized, because we've been feeling pretty pooped lately. We both have a couple of emotional things that we're dealing with, a couple of personal stuff that's come up, and our mental health has been medium at best. And so we're hoping that this time off will give us some time to recharge a little bit, and so we can come back a little bit more energized for the podcast. We also hope that this time will give us the chance to finally get our merch set up on the website so that we can, begin to support our podcast a little bit more. We also want to.
Also, who doesn't want a What the Phalange mug?
Yeah.
Hello.
Of course. We also want to add transcripts to our episodes
to make them more accessible.
Woo-woo. We would like to be able to plan for moving forward to have a couple of guests on the podcast so that we can talk about things that maybe we are less familiar with, or that we don't have, an expertise in. We are two siblings with similar upbringings, and therefore our opinions tend to be very
similar.
So we hope to bring in more voices into the conversation. And then lastly, we hope to be able to set up some new things for our patrons so that we can give you even more incentive to give us your money on a monthly basis, because
rude.
We need funds to make this podcast happen. And we appreciate every single person who is supporting us in whichever means that you can. It means a lot. It really has allowed us to keep going so far. Quinn is making weird faces. You know that they won't be able to hear your weird faces.
I disagree. Hands up if you heard my weird face. So let's get into the Friends reunion episode.
Yeah.
So this has been a long time coming, you know, like, I mean, yeah. It was in the middle of COVID, or like right before COVID hit, that it was announced that they were going to be doing a reunion episode. People had been asking for that episode or this episode for forever, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was announced that it was going to happen, and then COVID hit. And so it kept on getting kind of pushed off, and then it was like pushed off indefinitely. And then finally they filmed and did it. So, Emily, was it all of them that, like, who ended up producing this reunion episode?
So I know that the six actors produced it, along with Kevin Bright, Marta Kaufman, David Crane.
Okay, so like the three executive producers and the two creators.
What do you mean?
Kevin Bright is an executive producer.
Oh, okay.
And the other two are the creators slash producers.
And then the six actors. So
yeah. So pretty much like the main people involved with creating the show or making the show happen, and the people who are benefiting financially the most from the show as well.
Yeah.
I feel like we just need to like point these things out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, I want to like point out that the show Friends, like let's revisit these stats, folks. The show Friends currently makes over $1 billion a year in syndication revenue. Syndication revenue being money that they get for like whenever it's streamed on a platform. And also like all the merch that, you know, people buy, and like the board games and the trivia games and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the show is still the show is clearly not irrelevant or in the past. It is very current. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, each one of the six main characters slash actors are currently making $20 million a year off of the syndication revenue. So that is the same amount Yeah, that's it's about crazy. The same amount that they were making, that they made in the year that the show was like filmed, the last season, essentially. Okay. So they're making lots of money. They have lots of money to produce this.
They have lots of resources that they can pull from. And so all of that to preface the fact that Quinn and I were sordidly disappointed.
Yeah, I think, okay, let's like, I don't want to write it off as a full, like there are certain aspects of it that were just like such an obvious disappointment and very, very frustrating to see. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, though, I went into the show being very, very skeptical. Yeah. Because I found out that the reunion episode, I originally had thought / hoped that it would be actually of the characters.
I always knew
X amount of years down the line. And like, that's what I personally care about. I'm not a huge like celebrity person. Like I don't usually care to follow what celebrities are doing in their personal lives, or, you know, like I really, like I like Friends. I don't really know what like Matt LeBlanc is doing with his life right now. You know what I mean?
Fair.
That's sort of more of, and I feel like I am trying to make that more relevant to myself because of this podcast, essentially, because when we're talking about the show as a whole, we do have to like weave between like the characters and the scripting and like the art with the actual people behind it, you know, like that is like, we have to look at the full picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that, part of me feels, okay, how about this? What is like one thing that you really liked of this episode, of this reunion?
I don't know if there's one thing. Like I was really worried that I was going to watch, because it wasn't until like a little bit before we did the watch party for this, because we did a watch party with our patrons, by the way, which was super fun. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize until like we were planning this watch party that it was an hour and
45 minutes.
I was like, holy crappers. Yeah. Like that is so much longer than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And I was a little worried that it was going to kind of be like, maybe it's because I had seen pictures of of like people like just kind of being on a talk show style. Mm-hmm. And they were just going to like sit around in a circle and talk about it. And I was kind of like, I don't care enough to like listen to them sit around in a circle and talk about it. But I think that they actually did some really fun things about like to like bring the actors together. I was like surprisingly like really and maybe this says more about the fact of like how little human interaction I have had over the past year in the middle of the pandemic. But I was so like, I felt like so involved with like them showing the reactions to like the set.
You're banging your hands a lot right near the mic.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. And like, what did you think about like the actual setup of
I think, unlike you, had the, like, I never had an expectation that it was going to be like an episode. I figured that like they would never actually be able to do that successfully in a way that would please the entire audience. Cause like, everyone would have hoped for like different outcomes, I think, for, and like people have spent the last 15 years, you know, kind of speculating what happened to all the characters after the show ended, that if they were to create an episode around that, like they would have had to, they would decide on like a canon of what happened, and it would disappoint, I'm sure, a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
They had like huge expectations and shoes to fill, and I think that they wouldn't have been able to fill people's expectations, and therefore, yeah. And I also think that they wouldn't have been able to fill people's expectations in a way that wasn't just like super cheesy, you know?
Mm-hmm. How great would it have been though if it was like Friends in current times during COVID, and they did an episode like Joey living over the garage in Monica and Chandler's place, and
yeah,
you know, like just like. Like super silly.
Yeah, I can see that. The thing is, yeah, so I didn't have those kind of expectations going into it. I knew it was going to be more just kind of like a, you know, honestly, I didn't really think much of it. I wasn't like super stoked about a reunion. I wasn't like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch this. It's going to be so good. Like, I just kind of was like, okay, yeah, there's going to be a reunion, you know? And I think that like the things that I did enjoy about it was the ways in which they, like, interweaved, is that the right word?
Interwove?
Whatever. The ways that they integrated, boom. new word. The ways in which they integrated, like, old footage of them on set. Like, I really enjoyed seeing, you know, deleted scenes, bloopers, things that, like,
yeah,
you know, we have the DVD box set, so we've already seen a lot of, like, the deleted scenes and bloopers, but there were new ones. And it was fun to watch that and see kind of things that we had never seen before. Yeah. And so that was, to me, was enjoyable. Like to be transported back into 1994. Oh, we should adjust that, eh?
There's no way that we can. It's acting funny.
Okay.
Sorry, the audio. I don't know if you guys can, I don't know if the audio is like too much for you folks, but it goes back up on its own though. That's the thing.
No, it went back up when you changed it over there. It's fine here.
Okay.
Now.
Anyway,
whatever.
We'll see. This is what we bicker over, guys. What happened?
Oh, I think you can go back to that.
Okay. Well, no, let's just leave it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, but now we don't have chat. Oh, no. Anyways, whatever. Yeah. So, So I guess I just like, I didn't have the same kind of expectations. I enjoyed seeing the behind the scene footage. And I enjoyed like watching them all get together. Like the way that they like did the first 10, 15 minutes of the episode in which they're all like coming onto the set slowly, I think was really cute. I got pretty emotional and I wasn't expecting that.
I know, right? But like, that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to evoke emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also found that like it was very interesting because normally when we see the set, we're also only seeing it from the perspective of the show is currently happening. And right. So it is like a real space. So it was also interesting, I feel like, for us to see it as a set, like as though we went on set.
Yeah.
And that was like,
that was cool.
Really cool. And then to see them interact with it, with like with seeing how it is as a set.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've seen clips of that before, but it was just very interesting to see them like re-explore it.
Yeah. And I also like that, like, they were talking about different aspects of the set that like they changed or like enjoyed or didn't like. And that was cute. Like I liked being able to feel as though like I'm like you, like I don't really care about celebrity things, but I like to learn more about things that I like. So like I liked learning more about these kind of little like behind the scenes aspects of the show. And that to me was really enjoyable.
And then also getting like, okay, so I feel like two things happened when they talked about the show itself. Mm-hmm. One is that I thought it was really interesting to hear them talk about a little bit of like the thought processes of like how show, like each episode sort of was created and how like certain mm-hmm. concepts were brought up and then people like would disagree and then they were able to like turn it into something really fun, mm-hmm. you know?
Like, and how they were saying that like they would write an entire episode and then do it in front of the live audience. And if people didn't laugh at the jokes, they would stop, rewrite the joke and then represent it. I thought that was wild to me.
Yeah.
Like that makes it like they almost had like this test run.
Yeah.
Before they put it out, like they could test to see if it was like good. And like, I'm sure that led to a lot of the success of the show. Like it's so often that shows just like put out jokes and then, you know, you either like them or you don't. Whereas here, if people don't like it, they readjust. They can make the changes before it goes on to like before it airs, which I think is incredible. And the fact that the writers could do that is also incredible and just goes to show you the talent that the writers had.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. And it, yeah. I think that what also happened though, when they were talking about the individual episodes and kind of like deconstructing them, or not deconstructing, just like talking about the evolution of them, or when they were doing the game show version of their, I could not help but feel like a very intense stalker because they had such little memory of the show.
Oh, you like, felt like a stalker.
Yeah. Okay. Like, it was just like, I have so much intense knowledge of each and every single episode. And these guys couldn't even remember, like what was it?
They couldn't remember Mr. Heckles' name.
Yeah, they couldn't remember Mr. Heckles' name. Also, like, the episode where, like, Joey and Ross throw the ball, and David Schwimmer had, like, literally zero recollection of even being a part of that episode.
Yeah.
Like it's...
It was weird.
It's, like, they lived these episodes, right? Mm-hmm. Like they were the ones that lived them, helped create them, and they couldn't even remember, which like makes sense because I know for a fact that I don't remember half the things I've said in this podcast, but like more than half, you know, like a lot.
Yeah, half is generous. Yeah. I don't remember like things I said 5 minutes ago.
yeah. I can't remember what I ate yesterday for food.
It was probably a burrito.
Yes. Promptly. We have these frozen burritos that we just keep eating. This is a very sad one that I made for Emily right before this, and now
Emily,
it's all soggy.
Presents a burrito to the screen.
But I just like I couldn't help but be so overwhelmingly aware of the fact that I
have too much knowledge.
Have so much more. Like it was literally just the other day. I you know did an Instagram story on this. How my downstairs neighbors who are very loud. Watched an episode of Friends and I knew exactly which episode it was.
Yeah.
And like from just like a few of the audio sounds that like, you know, there was like the quartet and, you know, it was the one with all the jealousy where Ross ends in the quartet. And so, you know, like just from a few different things, I was able to tell which episode it was. And it just felt, to be honest, it almost felt uncomfortable.
How much knowledge you had?
Like them being so candid about the fact that they knew very little about their own show.
I disagree. I think that like, or whatever, you can feel however you want to feel. I don't disagree with your emotions, but I did. What I'm trying to say is that
you
I didn't
don't
feel that way. Yeah. Like, I think that's like, I guess maybe I've just watched episodes. Like I've watched, you know, Lisa Kudrow be interviewed. I've watched, you know,
I almost called him Joey Tribbiani. I watched Matt LeBlanc be interviewed. You know, like I've seen them talk already about the show, and I've already seen how little knowledge they have. And I just think that that's like, it would almost be more uncomfortable if they knew the show as much as I did, because then it would be like they were weirdly obsessed with themselves. I don't know. Like, I guess right. I understand, like, watching it through once or twice as being an actor on the show. I understand, like, showing it to your kids. I understand, like, you know, having a knowledge of the overall arc and how the characters felt, because you were those characters for 10 years. But I definitely, like, wouldn't expect them to know, you know, like, what line they said at 3 minutes and 42 seconds in season yeah. 3, episode 2. You know, like,
I guess, yeah, it was a lot of content. Mm-hmm. It was 10 years of content. Like, whereas, like, when I'm thinking back on, like, you know, I've been in some plays.
Mm-hmm.
And in a play, it is a very, like, determined amount of content. You work on it for months in advance, and then you do it on repeat for an extended period of time. Yeah. And so, like, it's just different. And mm-hmm. so maybe it's like coming from that place of being like, well, when I have been in productions, it's like I have a very thorough memory of what happened,
yeah,
and what was in it and what we did. But like when it's a sitcom, you're just like pumping them out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and more similar to like this podcast and how we're pumping out. Yeah.
This is also different because it's not scripted, right? Whereas there's a scripted, but yeah, no. Can Imagine. You believe this isn't scripted? Who would have known? Yeah. No. Okay, but okay. So that's like the feels that we have about some of the positive things, some of the weird things. I want to talk about some of the shittier things.
Emily, by what do you mean? Sorry.
I want to talk about how unbelievably, like, out of touch the reunion was, given the political climate that we are currently in.
Like, not only just, like, the political climate, but also just
the ways that dialogue has changed around current events over the past 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and, like, yes.
Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. I'm about to rant, and that's not fair. Go ahead.
Yeah, so what we mean by this, or what I mean by this, is that I think that the creators have been asked to talk about the issues that the show has several times. A few of the creators have been like, if the show was put out now, it would be, what are you trying to do?
Why are you double plugging my?
Oh, I meant to plug mine in.
Okay. Sorry, folks. I interrupted, but I was worried about the state of my computer.
Yeah. So, what was I saying? Yeah, basically I think that they had an opportunity to discuss things and they chose not to.
Not only that, sorry, continue.
Quinn is getting worked up. But okay, so the reason, like, what I'm trying to say is that in the past several years, the creators have been asked in multiple interviews, because they're still being asked about the show because it's still relevant. Again, reminder, the show is still relevant, about how they would change the show, you know, if it was filmed nowadays, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the creators have been like, yeah, like, we had a really white cast. That was really fucked up. We need to do better. Other creators, on the other hand,
including specifically Kevin Bright,
he specifically said that,
right, I know exactly, maybe I'll paraphrase.
Okay, you say it.
He says, no. So when asked, do you wish you had done anything different? He said, no, I don't. Like, this is just what it ended up being. And, like, what? Do I wish that Phoebe was black?
Yeah.
Like, no, I can't wish that. You know, like, and it's just like, like, that is very clearly a statement coming from someone who has so much privilege and has zero understanding of what is actually happening.
Yeah.
Like, it is just such a dense and also, like, just, like, very insulting to, like, yeah, any marginalized community, like, to make that kind of a freaking statement. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, that was just not okay.
Like creating diverse and like and better media is not just a matter of like taking white characters and replacing them with like black characters, or taking white characters and replacing them with indigenous characters. Like that's not how it works. Like there's more stories that need to be told outside of like the white upper middle class, because let's be real, middle to upper class, I guess, of the Friends like storyline. Like there's just more stories. There are more stories, more experiences, and we just keep being fed the same spoonful of story, the same story.
Like a very similar perspective every time.
Yeah.
You know, our range of perspective is very, very limited when it comes to like mainstream media. And in more recent times, that has been like shifting more and more, mm-hmm. but we're still very, very, very far away from actually having a diverse representation on mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And like diverse, like, and when we say representation, we don't just mean like visually seeing like people of diverse backgrounds on television, but also having stories from those real perspectives, not the perspective of that person's experience through a white middle class lens. Mm-hmm. Like that's the difference, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to circle this back around to like to the reunion episode and point out to everyone that not only has like our podcast, we've been talking about the little diversity that there has been so far, but if anyone didn't notice that in the reunion episode, they literally erased every single aspect of the diversity that existed,
which was minimal,
in the Friends show to begin with. So first of all, no Susan and Carol on the show. They didn't have any characters that were not white extras, essentially, mm-hmm. coming onto the show. And not to mention, like, they just didn't even, like, bring in, like, they could have very easily done things like, you know, had their guests be people who were not just, like, Lady Gaga, maybe the person who was hosting the whole, like, interview aspect of the show could have been someone who wasn't white. Like they literally, like, they had so many opportunities to do like even like the bare minimum, you know, like
yeah.
the tiniest amount, and they didn't.
Yeah. It was like, I don't even understand how they got it that far past production and into airing with how like unbelievably, I want to use the term tone deaf, but I feel like that might be an ableist term. So if anyone knows a synonym for that term, let me know. Like they weren't at all aware of like anything. Like it was like they lived in a bubble. They lived in like a 1994 bubble.
And okay, but then I want to add the fact that they erased that, but then they had this ongoing like weaving into the episode, like kind of like interviewing different people of different backgrounds all around the world. Who related to Friends and how it really influenced them. And I just like feel like now, like being away from it and having reflected on it for a while, like what that sort of like ends up feeling like is like essentially reinstating that the show does not care to have any real diversity, but then is trying to like recreate the narrative around the show that it is for everyone. And, and that like people, like almost like a narrative for predominantly like white middle-class folks like ourselves to be like, but everyone who is diverse and is not like the cis hetero mainstream person loves the show, so you should too, even though it has no diversity.
Yeah, it was like they almost took like a colorblind attitude around it, like this like multiculturalism attitude around it, like look at all the people from like multiple cultures who benefited from watching our show.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a problem because of the fact that like so many people watched it. You know, it just like,
it almost felt like propaganda. But like, you know, like where it's sort of like, we're going to do all these things, but then try to like create this overarching like message and like image of mm-hmm. something else, even though it's not like it was just, you know, I think what we usually call that nowadays is like greenwashing and like stuff like that, you know, like rainbow mm-hmm. washing, but like essentially they were just like washing the show.
Yeah.
They bleached it further. And then
whitewashing is also a thing.
Yeah, but then I was going to say that. And then, yeah. But
stop banging your arms. It's stressing me out.
Sorry, folks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that like they could have done the bare minimum and they didn't even do the bare minimum. They could have like, but they also could have done way more than the bare minimum because they're making millions of dollars off the show and they should have done more than the bare minimum. And yet they didn't even do the bare minimum.
Like, just think of like how much money the show was making. And how much, like, and how, like, they all produced it out of their pockets, but that's not actually, like, it's not, like, out of the goodness of their hearts, right? Like, this is marketing. Mm-hmm. This is them reinstating and representing themselves to the world to, like, reinstill, like, for them to continue to make oodles of money off of this show into the future. And they did it in a way that was just...
I'm curious to know how much money they made off of it, actually.
I mean, like, but I think it's not always going to be so straightforward, right? Because it's going to be more like the influx of people mm-hmm. watching Friends and like people, like bringing people back to the show. It's marketing, right? So like marketing is not always like a direct link to like making money. It's not how much money they made off of the streaming of that exact episode. It's how much that influenced like the general popularity and viewership and buyership of merchandise, like that kind of thing of like the show as a whole.
But for the record, like you said, they get $20 million a year each in syndication payments, but to appear on this show, they each got an additional $2.5 million to be on the show.
So when they produced it,
yeah,
like how much
they produced it in order to make more money off the show than they were already making. And yet they didn't think that it would be a good time and place to have a conversation about the lesser, less positive aspects of the show. And I just think that they could have. Like, it's not even – and, like, you know, whatever. Maybe if you're listening to this podcast, you wouldn't be calling me this. But I'm not, like, you know, a crazy socialist who wants to see everything be feminist, which I do. But I'm, like, in this case – no, but I mean in the sense, like even in the sense of just, like – like they could have just had a conversation without ruining, quote unquote, ruining the episode. You know what I mean? Like sometimes people are like, well, we just want to like focus on the fun aspects and the positive things. Like, why do you have to bring this into it? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, they could have done it in a way that was like, this is a really iconic and amazing show, but like, let's laugh at ourselves a little bit and look at like all the terrible things we did. And like, you know, how like problematic that was. And they could have done it in like a lighthearted way mm-hmm. if they wanted to, like, you know, again, bare minimum, if they wanted to like, you know, stick with the tone of the reunion, but they still just could have fucking done it. Like,
yeah. And even like brought in like Lauren Tom has done, who played Julie in the beginning of season two. Like she has done a fair amount of like work with different things, like talking about, like essentially racial disparity within like media and parts that are given. And like, she's like been very central in that, like, and she was a part of the show. Like it would have been really easy to have her on and easy. I don't know, like what, if Lauren Tom would have wanted to, but you know, like, but Frank, like pay her a shit ton of money to like, you know, like be able to come on and sort of like give some reflections. Like, you know, like it's okay to be self-critical. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's, and I guess I'm also like, I keep thinking of David Schwimmer, who like has been interviewed in a few different interviews has been like, I tried to make the show more diverse by like pushing for my character to date people of color, you know, and, you know, he was also, you know, photographed at a Black Lives Matters demonstration. And so it's just a very disappointing end to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
I want to point out, I guess I just need to reinstill, like, we can celebrate things while still being critical and discussing like where we failed and how we can do better. Mm-hmm. You know, like we can still celebrate things that are problematic, you know? Yeah. And like this episode really should have included some sort of self-criticism, and it only makes sense because they started in 1994. The world has changed. Yeah, I think that most people will be very understanding of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so another, I want to bring up another quote. You quoted the other guy, Kevin Nesbright. This is the Friends reunion special director, Ben Winston, objected to those calling for more diversity in the special. What more diversity do they want in this reunion? He told the Times, the cast is the cast.
That doesn't make any sense.
Cue insert our really disappointed faces. If you couldn't see it on the live. It's again, just like a total lack of understanding, like a total, like that's, it's just, you can discuss these things. Like you can discuss these things. It's not like a matter of like, there tends to be this idea that like only BIPOC can talk about race. Only queer people could talk about queerness. Only like, yes, we want marginalized people to be leading the conversations. We want their voices to be highlighted. We want them to be at the forefront of all of these movements. But if we're not talking about it and we hold a privileged identity, then like we need movement. We need change. And like it's not going to happen from people fighting tooth and nail. Like we need to be having the tough conversations and they just had the opportunity and they could have even done it in a way where we were more like realistically in any way they did it, we probably would still be disappointed. Let's be real. But like they could have done it in a way in which we weren't terribly disappointed. Like,
yeah,
it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Especially because it's like the show is just very much designed to evoke so much emotion, mm-hmm. you know? Like I teared up multiple times in the show. I'm also a very emotional person, but
me too.
But like, it was just,
I cry during like emotional commercials sometimes. I'm like, oh, he got his mom a fridge. I'm like, that's so nice. Weren't we like both crying at like the vaccination camping commercial the other day?
Yes, we were.
Okay. Yeah. We're a little emotional.
It's too much. Anyway. But like, even like outside of the fact that I am aware of the fact that I'm very emotional, like the show, like the reunion episode is really designed to really evoke emotion. Mm-hmm. And it did so successfully, but because of the fact that they just really only focused in on the things, I'm not going to finish this sentence apparently, but
they missed an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also want to point out that, like, you know, Lady Gaga was on there. There was a bunch of, like, guest stars. And Justin Bieber. Well, his standards are pretty low, in my opinion. But, like, actually, I don't really know much about Justin Bieber at all these days.
Do you know more about Lady Gaga than Justin Bieber? I don't know anything about any of them.
Lady Gaga kind of holds, like, herself central to being, like, an icon for especially, like, the queer community, right? And, like, the fact that, like, she, like, I guess I in some ways kind of feel like this, like, we should be extending that responsibility of, like, you are a celebrity that was getting paid a shit ton of money to be on the show, and you don't need that money. Like, you definitely don't need that money. Mm-hmm. But like, did you not like check to make sure that like, what did you just like
agree to sign on and not really.
Yeah. Not actually like check to make sure, like, has anyone said anything? Has Lady Gaga sort of like said anything on the lack of diversity on, I'm specifically talking about Lady Gaga because she has been like an icon in this light in so many ways, and especially to the queer community, and especially like the show didn't, like the reunion episode didn't even have Susan or Carol on there. Mm-hmm. Also, though, I just want to take a little side note here and point out the fact that like Monica and Ross's parents were on the show, like the reunion episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to like they almost look exactly the same in a lot of ways.
Oh, really? I felt like they definitely looked older. Like they definitely looked 25 years older or 20 years older.
Right.
I do think that like when I saw them sitting together, I was like, oh my God, are they together? And I got like a little bit of like excited, and then I realized they're not together. But
okay.
I was like, oh, mom and dad.
I know, right?
But yeah, no. Anyways, look, all that to be said, Friends could do better. They had, obviously, we can look back on a show that's 20 years old, 25 years old, and critique it for, you know, not doing better in the time that it was happening, but also being sympathetic for the fact that it was in the 90s when most shows were not doing well in these kind of conversations. But it's 2021, folks. Like,
yeah, and they released something in 2021 about the show.
Like, just take fucking 20 minutes and talk about the things like, oh, yeah, we did that trans joke. We thought it was really funny at the time. Like, that show, that joke did not, like, age well. Or, you know, like, just, like, talk about the ways in which things didn't age well and talk about your embarrassment around it. And, like, and that's okay. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, or just acknowledge that you are glad that you've learned more about, like, the trans community and how these jokes are not accurate at all and
yeah,
very like, harmful. You know, like
media changes, like that's part of life. Like we could be listening to this podcast in 20 years and be like, oh my God, I can't believe we had those conservative thoughts around these topics, you know, like, and that's okay. And like, it's okay to own up to fucking up, and it's okay to like challenge your past self. And I just like, they had the opportunity to do that and they failed.
Yeah. And I would say you said 20 minutes. I think that, well, I mean, like the bar is very low.
Oh, yeah.
But like, it didn't even have to be 20 minutes, yeah. You know? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that what I have been reflecting on since watching the Friends reunion is how, like, we've been doing our podcast, like you said, kind of like reflecting on it in a sense of, well, you know, even though, you know, like they make a lot of money now off of it, so it is a relevant thing to be talking about. But at the same time, it was produced and made in the past. And so like, we can look at it in a sense of like, this is what it was, this is what we loved, this is what we need to like take away from it, this is what we wish we could change, this is what we need to like unpack within ourselves, because, you know, that's, we inherently have like consumed this, especially at a younger age when we didn't know as much. And therefore, like when you're continuously being shown certain things, you inherently start to subconsciously believe certain things. And so it's nice to go through the podcast and do it in that way. But I almost feel like, I don't know, this episode, this reunion episode makes me feel like we're not being critical enough, which is unfortunate.
Mm.
You know? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely like, I think that there's been a few things over the course of the last few months that have like led me to thinking about this podcast and how I want to approach it in a lot of ways. And, you know, like, I guess you guys kind of sometimes hear us having these conversations on the podcast, but we have conversations about this nonstop all the time behind the scenes on ways in which we need to do better and be better. Especially now that, you know, we have more than just like 10 people listening to every episode. thank you for that. But you know, the more people listen to your message, the more you have a responsibility to be accountable and say good things. That sounds really silly, but I mean, in the sense of like, you know, we hold a quote unquote platform, as tiny as it is, as very, very little tiny that it is. It's still a platform. There's still people we don't know who are listening to our voices. And so what can we do to expand the conversation and do better? I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and this being part of kind of like, I mean, there's a lot going on in our lives right now, but also kind of wanted to continue to reflect on this, essentially to circle back around to anyone who wasn't there at the very beginning to say that we are going to be taking some time off in August and September.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like one of the things we want is to, you know, have various guests on our show who can talk about things from a perspective that isn't just, you know, grew up in the West Island,
of Montreal.
West Island of Montreal. Like
most people in the world do not know what the West Island is.
You know, like we're Anglophone. We're white. We're, you know, like we hold identity.
Anglophone. Sorry, we also are bilingual.
Ish.
I mean,
depends on the day. But yeah, no. So I think it's given me a lot to reflect on, and you know, I don't know. I've just been reflecting.
Yeah. I think that there are so many things about the reunion episode that like when I watched it, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a real fun time. I remember as we watched it, I was disappointed in like, oh, where are Carol and Susan? Kind of like, oh, I was kind of hoping that like someone like Laura and Tom, like bigger characters who were like side characters besides the ones that they brought up were going to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, for frig's sake, they like zoomed Gunther, you know, for like
they
2 seconds.
They zoomed Gunther for like 2 seconds.
You know, but I guess... Yeah, I guess it's just making me have to really reflect on how I see the show as a whole now, and also the creators and, you know, the producers, and I feel like it almost like has destroyed the hope that I did have for the show of like, you know, like certain redeemable aspects of like, well, it happened 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I think it's just, it's, yeah. And there's like a part of me that's like, what do we do? You know, like, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I think we should all, I think there was a lot of conversation about like the reunion episode of like, you know, Ross and Rachel or David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston actually did like each other. And that's why like, first kiss was like,
I love that. Honestly, that tugged on my heartstrings. I was like, oh my God, they're both single right now. They should definitely get together. And it would be like the, like getting together of the couple of the century. Like people would just be so stoked if like 25 years later, Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer got together, like, that'd be next level.
That would be next fucking level. But I mean, a lot of people have theorized that that was just for the reunion episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Emily's like, I'm not angry for being manipulated. I think that's adorable.
Yeah, I'm fine. Whatever. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Take my money. I don't care. Take my money. You've taken a lot of my money already, friends. Like, go for it. You know? Actually, no, that's not true. You haven't taken a lot of my money, but still.
Yeah. And Jennifer Aniston. Like, she's been, you know, she recently just did
The Morning Show.
That, you know, and is like doing more work to talk about things that need to be talked about in society. And I mean, I had heard at one point that the Morning Show, the second season, was going to be talking about racial issues in the workplace, as opposed to like, you know, sexual assault and whatnot, so again, it's just like, what happened, people, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it feels like someone and or all of them really dropped the ball the ball that Ross can't remember throwing.
Yeah, and I feel like it, like,
you didn't laugh at my joke.
I wasn't listening. Wow. I was thinking about what I was saying next.
I said Ross really dropped the ball that he didn't remember that he dropped in that episode.
Oh, there, yeah. It was actually very clever, Emily.
Thank you.
Bringing things full circle.
Is it funny when you have to repeat your joke, though? I don't know.
Always is my motto.
Yeah, because you always have to repeat your jokes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it's just, it makes me just have to really reflect on, like, my love of Friends. Like, does that mean that we can't keep watching Friends? I don't think so. I feel like I'm fairly committed to continuing to watch Friends.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for this podcast? Like, does that, yeah, it's just,
well, we can tell you very much, Friends, none of the proceeds from this podcast are going to the syndication revenue of Warner Brothers. I'll tell you that much.
Hells yeah.
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 All right. Do you have any concluding thoughts?
I don't know. I feel like we just like, okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah. I think,
mm-hmm. Okay, let's, I want to point out that I like how Jennifer Aniston did not eat the recreated parfait.
What? I did not see that.
You didn't see that part of the, well, you probably just don't remember it, where it's like they make her the parfait that she made that tastes like feet.
Mm.
And they tried to get her to eat it. And she like took a bite of the whipped cream and she's like, I'm not eating anything else.
Wow. Well, how did I not see this? I must've been distracted. That's so weird.
I also very much appreciated the, like, I know that some people thought it was just like ridiculous and not worthy, but I really enjoyed the catwalk of all the ridiculous outfits that the majority of them Ross had to wear at some point.
Right.
That was funny.
I want to bring up something that's like a little bit more, I don't know, interesting. Like, so we talk,
interesting than what I was saying. Sorry.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounded like. That's not what I meant. But I was thinking of, like, I'm just going through my notes right now. That's why I thought of it. But, you know, I found it really interesting when Matthew Perry was talking about how he was anxious, like so anxious recording the show, and how he like set this really high bar for himself that he wanted to make sure the audience like really laughed at everything, and then like would get like really frustrated or upset if like they didn't laugh at his jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, that sounds exactly like Chandler. Like, yeah. Chandler like having this like emotional veil of humor when he's actually really anxious and sad or upset, you know? But I thought it was like really interesting to hear about Matthew Perry's insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
I did find it interesting that like they didn't bring up anything about the fact that like Matthew Perry has said in previous interviews that like he has zero memory of like 3 to 4 seasons of the show because of his drug addiction. I'm sure that was his choice.
Yeah.
To not bring that up. Like,
I do get vibes that, that he doesn't just, I mean, I would get sick of talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Matthew Perry more than any of the other characters are kind of over the fame and like center of attentionness. Like, I know that all of them had a really hard time when, like, as the second season started and they started getting extremely famous very quickly, mm-hmm. that they all had, like, a really hard time adjusting to that. And, Matt LeBlanc has, like, talked about in interviews that for, like, 2 years he actually did not leave his house outside of, like, having to go to set and, like, things that he absolutely had to do because...
Wow.
It was just like, and you know, back in the 90s, like, you know, that is like center paparazzi time and like beginning of the 2000s, you know, like that is central paparazzi time. And
that not exist now, you don't think?
Well, social media has like really changed that in a lot of ways, right? Because it gives celebrities the opportunity to fulfill that like craving of their audience to like have behind the scenes perception of who they are and what they do when they're like, not all made up and on show, on, mm-hmm. you know, and like you can start up. Did you watch the Britney documentary?
No, I've been wanting to though.
Yeah, it becomes more like it becomes quite evident in that how, like, you know, her life, like she was being, her life was being destroyed by paparazzi, and you know, social media has helped change that essentially, because
people can control their own narrative a little bit more.
Yeah, and like let people in a way that is also like they still have control over it, you know, instead of like hordes of people chasing after you.
Celebrity things is so weird. It's like, it's such an interesting concept how we like idolize and like put on a pedestal these like very arbitrary people who can act.
Yeah, I think it's just our obsession with trying to understand something to completion. You know what I mean? Like, like not wanting to just see something by like a one dimension of something, you know, like, and I think that that, you know, I think that first of all, also things like YouTube and other types of social media have done a really good job of like creating more diversity of like people that we can kind of like see into people's lives. And I mean, I think that most like famous YouTubers, you know, over time they end up, even if this has nothing to do with their channel, they'll end up doing things like behind the scenes stuff and a day in the life episodes. And those are some of like the most popular episodes that exist on YouTube, you know, like a day in the life, what I eat in a day. And it's just like, I think we're just so curious to know like how people operate outside of the facade that we all create either in front of a camera or when we leave our house, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious to know like the psychology behind that and like why that is and what that comes from. Like, I feel like it has to come from this idea like that we want to fit in, and therefore knowing how other people exist like gives us the opportunity to fit in. But
I think it's also the fact that, like, you know, capitalism has made us so like desperate to survive. And in actuality, like making it is so hard that like we're continuously trying to figure out how other people have made it. And by made it, I just mean like survive it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you seem like you have your life together. How do you do that? Because at the end of the day, we all feel like we're super scrambling and don't know how to keep it all together. And, or is that just me? Anyway. I think it's a very universal. And I think that our generation's doing a pretty good job of dismantling like these. I mean, if you look back to the 50s, right, where it was like the iconic image was like a woman in high heels with like the perfect dress, makeup and hair, vacuuming the house, you know, like, right. Like, it, yeah. Anyway,
now we just talk about therapy nonstop.
Yeah. Now
that's one of my favorite things about our generation is like the ways in which like 20 years ago, it was weird if you were in therapy. Now it's like weird if you're not in therapy.
I know. Right.
Or like,
it's like, I don't wait, you haven't gone to therapy. I can't date you.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't trust you. I don't think you know your own emotions yet, and that will make it very hard to communicate with you.
Oh man. But yeah, no. Yeah, I think that there was a lot of, anyways, I honestly, like, I feel like we could talk about this for hours, and I don't know if that's really what our intention was for today.
We really digressed there. Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that, like, in some ways, I feel like this reunion, I wrote in my notes, like, I feel like in a lot of ways, this reunion could have been longer in the sense that, like, they could have broken it out into, like, a 6-part, like, behind-the-scenes reunion thing in which they tackle, like, a different aspect in every, you know, part. And, like, I think that could have been an opportunity, again, to have more discussion about things. But I also think that, you know, they made what it was, and they're not going to put anything else out ever again, you know, like this was the reunion. And I think even Monica Courtney Cox said that during the thing. She was like, we're never going to actually do this again. Like, this is the last time.
Also, I want to point out that it was like the first time that they had been in a room together since like in
years. Yeah.
Years. All of them. Like all six of them, which is like wild.
Did you get the vibe that like they all kind of had a bit of animosity towards Matthew Perry?
No.
I got like this vibe that like they weren't actually that close to him. And the others were closer. Like, I know that Courtney Cox, Lisa Kudrow, and Jennifer Aniston are like still friends.
Yeah.
All of them. And like,
I know this because I see it on Instagram.
Well, I know that Jennifer Aniston is like the godparent or something of Courtney Cox's kids.
Right. Yeah.
Or one of them. And so like, I do know that they have connections still. And I think from what I know, I think David Schwimmer and Lisa Kudrow have worked together on a few things. But I'm not 100% sure. But I just kind of felt like Matthew Perry was a little bit like the odd one out. Like he kind of just felt like, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Oh my God. I have to ask you a question. How do you feel about the fact that they said that Ross and Rachel were on a break? They all agreed on that.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question. Because I feel like we're gonna talk about it, obviously, when it comes up in the podcast. But
yeah,
I don't care if they were on a break. It was not okay for Ross to sleep with someone that night and expect to get back together and as though everything was fine. And that, like, that's not how it works. It doesn't matter if they were on a break. If he had actually wanted to get back together and maintain the health of the relationship, it doesn't matter if they were on a break or not. Yeah. You know, like, to expect that wouldn't affect Rachel is just
and it's also realistic. like literally she says, I think we should just take a break, and then
he leaves.
Like, he doesn't even say anything. So it's like she was the one that says on a break to begin with, which ironically he's the one that ends up yelling it nonstop in later episodes, and yet he doesn't even discuss it, and then yet he thinks that he can go off. Like, can you imagine like getting into a fight with your partner and then just being like, oh, like, you know, like out of anger or frustration, saying something like, oh, I think we should like take a break, and then just like leaving and 4 hours later sleeping with someone, and then the next day like expecting for everything to be okay? Like, no. Like, no,
it's not how it works. I mean, like, we're talking in the realm of like monogamy, but just in general, like, you should have like the trust in your relationship that things can go poorly for even more than just 4 hours, an extended period of time, and you're not like at risk of your partner doing things that are going to be extremely like
hurtful. And a violation of your trust.
Yeah. And in a violation of your trust or the type, like the standards of your, you know, like relationship, even if they were polyamorous, like that doesn't mean that it would have been okay either. You know, like it's just, that's not how things work. It was really weird that they were all like, they were on a break.
Yeah, I don't understand why they all agreed with that.
Like, I just don't. Like, even, it's like, yes, maybe factually they were on a break, but like, that really wasn't the point or the issue.
Right. And the whole thing is that Ross always shouts that as like an excuse for the thing that he did wrong. But like, I think the whole purpose is that that excuse is actually not a valid one, even if it was true. And personally, I don't think that they were on a break. Like, I don't think that that's like, I don't think.
Yeah,
that
I still don't think it's valid.
Like, that's not how breakups work. Like, if one person just like yells at the other one while they're leaving the room, like, we're breaking up, and the other person leaves, like, you're not broken up. Like,
but
there needs to be more conversation in an adult relationship.
Yeah. Like, and even if it's like, I think we need to take a break, it's like, you can't just leave and then be like, I'm going to make my own rules for what a break looks like for our relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you can't talk to Mark. You can't have a friend over and eat egg rolls with your friend. And yet I, on the other hand, can go and sleep with.
Yeah. Ross in that whole situation was a giant fucking baby. Yeah. And his man babiness was the issue. Yeah.
And also the advice that Chandler and Joey give him we're going to get to this episode when we get to this episode.
Yeah, no, we need to,
next season, guys, season 3.
But it was upsetting and weird to hear them say that. Also, it was weird and upsetting when they interviewed certain people who were like, we learned how to like date and pick up women based on the Friends show. And I was just like, that is not a good place to, yeah, no. Like, that is our main issue with this show. We should not be putting this on a pedestal. You should not be advertising this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have two more thoughts, and then, okay, yeah, we are happy to wrap up. But so my other thing that I wrote was, I thought it was really funny when Ross says that, like, he really admired Sean Penn, the actor Sean Penn, who plays Ursula's fiance in the episode where then Phoebe kisses him and dates him for another episode.
Right.
So, and Ross just says, like, he really admired Sean Penn, and it was like, he was one of his favorite actors, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was like, and then he says, the greatest actor in the world, and I'm a fucking potato, because he gets dressed up in the Sputnik outfit.
Right.
And I just thought that was so funny that, like, he meets his celebrity idol and he's dressed as a potato. And I just thought, like, wow, you're right. A lot of the outfits that were ridiculous were Ross's outfits, the leather pants, the potato, holiday armadillo.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty funny. And then one last thought that I have is that at the very end, they talked about, like, where they thought all the friends would have been, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, if they would have actually ever, you know, done an episode together. And they were talking about how, like, no, we don't feel that way because, like, you know, they were chosen family. They were family together until they all had their own families. And to me, I just find that, like, a really sad perspective. Like, you only have your chosen family until you have your own biological family. Like, that's just really upsetting. Like, no, you can have a chosen family for your whole life. And, like,
yeah, I'm really glad you brought this up because, well, because I forgot my notes in Toronto, which is why I don't have any.
You took notes by hand?
Yeah.
What is this, 1994?
I have a bullet journal. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I do have a bullet journal too. Oh, my burrito is so soggy.
Yeah, that was something that was very heartbreaking because, like, to hear as a queer person, because a lot of the ways that I relate to the show is kind of like, and I think that a lot of queer folks relate to the show, is seeing, like, this family that exists that is, like, chosen family, and the way that they all show up for each other and support each other is very much in, like, a chosen family way. And it has the validity of family, you know, if anything, like, they're spending holidays together beyond with their own family. And this is, like, very common for queer folks that, like, they don't, like, chosen family is the family that they have. You know, there's a lot of queer people who have been disowned by their family. And so it was just very sad to the kind of, like, how they finish it off by kind of wrapping it up. Like how their perception of, like, the show wrapping up was that it was the end of this chosen family because biological family comes first. That was, that was, like, really heartbreaking.
And, like, I get what they were trying to say. Like, they were saying the show, the whole purpose of the show was, like, to take them through their 20s as they're trying to figure themselves out and setting themselves up for their future. Like, I get that concept, but I just, like, the way that they phrased it, I feel like, is really upset, like, really sad. Like, yeah, I don't know.
It's like, again, like, very much the cis hetero, like, nuclear family, middle class perspective that is rampant in mainstream media. And, you know, for so many people outside of that, you know, like queer folks, trans folks, like, you know, people who immigrated, you know, like, to a new place with friends and not family and don't have access, you know, like, of going back, you know, to where they were born, where, you know, biological family is, you know, like, there's lots of different reasons why people, you know, have chosen family, and that is what is important. And it's interesting because it's like that little bit that was like, they were doing really good. They also managed to take back and erase in this reunion episode. They really went backwards. It's a very upsetting episode.
It's a weird episode.
I wish I never saw it.
Really? I don't feel that way.
I don't know. I'm just saying that because I'm pouting right now.
Yeah, I can see. I do find it interesting that, like, that they prioritized again this, like, nuclear family perspective. And it's just like really upsetting. And you know what? Even outside, okay, obviously, you know, outside of, like, the queer perspective in terms of, like this idea around, like, couples breaking off and going to have kids and family, like, even like a lot of people can't have kids and like, or don't want kids. And it's just like, I do find that really frustrating that like that idea of like breaking off into your individual families to go and have kids, as if that's the only narrative that you can take in order to quote unquote grow up or become an adult. And like it's okay to not want to have kids. It's okay if you can't have kids. Like, you know, like it's just it sucks. It's boring.
Yeah.
There's a lot more stories that need to be told.
Agreed.
With that being said,
I think that we need to wrap it up at this point because I feel like we're just going deeper into a hole.
Yeah. That was good. I'm happy.
I'm sadder than when we started.
No, I'm not. No, I've been stressing about releasing this episode. I've been like, oh my God, words. Yeah. So thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in.
If you are listening to this episode, it's going to have been released on Wednesday. So we'll be back on Tuesday, July 20th, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday, depending on when we get our act together to edit this podcast and release it.
Yeah. correct.
So we'll be back on July 20th with season 2, episode 10. And then we're going to take a little hiatus, like we said, and we'll be back after that on October 5th. We will be updating our website in that 2-month hiatus to include some information. So you can always check back in on our website and our Instagram in case you're lost and don't know where we are. We will come find you, or you can come find us actually more accurately. So anyways, that being said, my name is Emily. You can find me on Instagram that I'm like really rarely ever on nowadays, Emily B Yoga. You can find me on my website, which is still in fact under construction, emilybyoga.com. Really, if
you want that, people can't like, will it work if they go to your website?
Yeah, it'll work, but it's just under construction. So it says under construction and that's all you can see.
Okay. Oh.
And then you can click my social media links.
Okay, but that's helpful.
And yeah, if you want to just like send us an email, feel free to send us an email at the email address that I always forget. It's wtphalange@gmail.com.
And go to our website, WT.
No.
Nope. Do this every time.
whatthephalangepodcast.com and yes. Our Instagram, which is
wtphalangepodcast.com. No. Dot it Instagram handle.
Wow. We have to change those so they're all the same, I think.
We need to do a lot of things for this podcast.
Hence friends. The reason why we're taking time off. Quinn, where can they find you?
They can find me at quinnkbruna.com, and that's just the best place to go find me because that is a website handle that is, or a website address that will always be me. It is my name and then all of my social medias should be attached to that. So
yeah. Thank you. And keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.
High five.
Unison.
Okay, so I want to take a look here because we somehow got rid of the comment section. I pressed on something that.
How, I think it's this one.
This one? So we have no idea if people have commented. It's not working.
Weird.
So we have no idea. Oh, wait, what if we click that? No.
What if I click escape?
No. Escape.
That's embarrassing.
He's from Finding Nemo, everyone.
You can't click that.
No, it's not.
What if you click that little thing now at the top? And then you can't click anything?
No. Nope. So, friends, I'm really sorry. We can't see if you have
said anything to us. So, end
stream. Unless you guys know edit?
No,
cancel.
Let's end the stream, though. And then we can see if people said anything.
Well,
thank you to our 2 viewers.
Well, I feel like we've had a couple shuffle in and out other than that. But thanks for tuning in with us live today. We appreciate you.
Bye.
Bye.
End. Did you click it?
I did.
Well, we're just still live.
Well, I don't know. Are we live?
It's not letting us end it. They just want us to keep recording. That's the issue. What is happening? Oh, what did I do?
You went into the corner that...
We will forever be live.
Apparently.
What if you edit? What if you have to add a name to it or something? There's still two people tuned in, which is embarrassing. Now they're seeing us. They're going to see me eat a burrito.
Well, no one can see you outside of... Okay. Did the... Start with that. Oh, I hit that save.
My burrito is cold.
It's still not letting us do anything. What's happening?
I think you should just exit.
But we don't have it saved otherwise.
Also, first, maybe stop the GarageBand. What if you click refresh? Oh my God, imagine if it just hasn't been working this whole time.
So very upsetting.
There's still people watching us.
I mean,
thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com, email us at wtphalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter at WTPhalangePod or follow us on Instagram at WTPhalangePodcast. All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an IE.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.